prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Gentlemen, boys and girls, I'm Alfred Addisk, and this is Financial Survival for Friday, 22nd day of August, year of our Lord, 2014. Let's start the festivities with the market reports. Gold's up $3.90 to $1,281.20 per ounce. Silver's up 3 cents to $19.54 an ounce. Platinum's up $4 to $14.28. Palladium is up $9 to $891. In the equities, Dow Jones is down 38 points to 17,001 points. NASDAQ is down 8 to 4,540. New York Stock Exchange is down 37 to 10,946. U.S. dollar index is up 0.17 to 82.32. And crude oil is down 35 cents to $93.61 per barrel. I just find that hard. It's not easy to understand why the price of crude oil has fallen as much as it has. It's off at least $10 a barrel, and probably more than that. It's probably more like $13, $15 a barrel over the course of the last month or 6 weeks. And it's hard to look at that and just say, how can this be given the turmoil that we have in the Middle East and whatever? But it may be, we've talked about it before, it may be that the supply of oil is actually increasing or the demand for oil is decreasing. Maybe the global economy is shutting down in a way where, hey, we don't need as much crude oil, and if you want to sell it, you've got to sell it at a cheaper price. It could be evidence that the economy, global economy, is unwinding and diminishing, becoming weaker. It may also be evidence that fracking has put a whole bunch of oil on the market that wasn't there a couple of years ago. And it may be that the demand is staying the same, but the supply is increasing. The United States, which didn't export any crude oil up until, I don't know, a year or two ago, they're now starting to be, we are now a significant exporter. We have come up with a significant supply of crude oil. Hard to say what's happening here, but it certainly defies conventional wisdom when you look at the Middle East and you see all the trouble we have there, and you would think the price of crude should be rising, but it's not. Our guest, co-host today is Frank Stephan. He's the program producer. He's sitting in for Melody. And Frank, are you there?
I am.
Good. Got an article here from, here's something, let's start the...
Al, I'd like to comment on what you just said, though. You know, when you're looking at the world events and supply and demand and how it ought to be, and it's not happening, doesn't that kind of point to we have just one more manipulated market?
Well, that's one interpretation on this, but you wonder how far we can go.
Oh, yeah. When does it hit the wall? And when are they, you know, I've asked that about all of them. I'm shocked and I'm appalled, but in a way I'm somewhat impressed at the fact they've been able to float this thing as far as they have.
I understand. I thought this thing would have folded up. I expected it to fold up 20 years ago. And here we are. You've got to give the devil his due. They're able to hold this together, but crude oil is big business, and crude oil is connected, right? In a way that gold is not connected. Gold doesn't have business people that are involved in gold. It's got bankers that want to grab it if they can, but it doesn't have businesses that are throwing around bribes and whatever. It's not the same as crude oil. Crude oil is big geopolitical business, and therefore I would expect the one market that would not be manipulated to the downside would be crude oil. I can understand why they'd do it to gold, but I am surprised and, you know, befuddled. Why are they allowing, what's causing or allowing this to happen to crude oil?
You know, and the other thing is, too, I mean, we watch this, and just like when they say, oh, boy, you know, the economy's in a recovery, look at the stock market. Mm-hmm. Well, okay, that's true. Look at the stock market, and there's some people getting real wealthy off of it. But then you look on Main Street, and people are not benefiting from this. Crude oil, same thing. I mean, oh, boy, look at this. But yet, crude oil's going down, and yet I'm still paying almost $4 a gallon for gasoline here. How's that? Why is this not, you know, connecting?
I understand, and it's been historically apparent for the last generation or two that whenever the price of crude oil goes up, instantly the price of gas goes up.
That's right.
And when the price of crude oil goes down, well, it may be 6 weeks or 2 or 3 months before the price of gasoline goes down.
And you know what a parallel to that is? In banking... Well, when you deposit money into your bank, it takes 3, 4, 5 days for it to, you know, actually be available. But boy, when you write something on it, it's out now, right away. It's gone, you know?
I
mean, so they're running, you know, that's why I'm thinking, well, we're pretty much agreed, and it's pretty obvious that the banking industry is manipulated, and, you know. And, well, when you look at some other industry and you see them doing the same things, you got to figure, well, maybe they're manipulated also.
In the end, there's only so many moves on the board.
That's true.
There's only so many things the system can really do to rob the productive elements of society. And that's what this is finally all about. I'm working on an article that'll be in the American Survival newsletter this coming weekend, and I'll post it on my blog here shortly. But the point is, I don't have any great respect for the poor, and I don't have any great respect for the super rich. Most of them are parasites or predators. Whether they want to be or they choose to be or they have to be, I don't know. I'm not making a value judgment. But my point is, both groups are significantly less productive than their acquisition and their consumption would indicate. They both want stuff. They don't earn what they get. Right? The rich get it by bribing congressmen to pass laws to allow them to predate on the middle class. The poor get it by getting congressmen to pass laws. They'll vote congressmen back into office if they can pass enough laws to let the poor predate on the middle class. And the middle class, to my mind, is these are the mules that pull the plow. These are the people that actually make a productive contribution to society. People at the extremes are more or less parasites and predators, to my mind. Not always true, but that's the way I tend to look at it. The government has destroyed, or is in the process of destroying, the middle class. They've done it by sending jobs over foreign countries, by under global free trade and NAFTA and GATT and whatever. They've done it by encouraging illegal aliens to invade into this country and depress wages. They've done it by imposing so many regulations that it's difficult for people in the middle class to run their own businesses and to get ahead by being self-employed. The middle class is being eviscerated. And this is the core of the productive element of this country. And if the middle class goes down, it means that the government isn't able to raise tax revenues that would otherwise have come from the middle class. And that predisposes, that compels government in part to go out and start borrowing money. Now, I think this is one of the principal indicators, this is one of the principal indications that we can see in the national debt, which has almost doubled under the Obama administration. I think the reason he's borrowing that money is because the middle class has been exhausted. That's at least part of the reason, and I think it's a major part of the reason, and it may be more than just, you know, it might be primary. So what's the point to all this? The point is, we're not going to see recovery in this country until we have government programs that respect and restore the middle class. They're pulling the plow. You know, once the middle class is gone, there's nobody left really to pay enough taxes. They say tax the rich. There's not enough rich people. You're not going to get it. They're smarter than all your tax collectors. You're not going to get it out of the rich to speak of. And even if you could, there's not enough there where you can really keep this thing afloat. You've got to have that middle class. And once the middle class is dissolved, and then you start borrowing, and then you exhaust your creditors, and there's no more creditors around to borrow to from whom you can borrow. And people say, well, that hasn't happened. Yeah, it has. It's been going on for several years. That's why the Federal Reserve buys the biggest share of the United States bonds and treasuries that have been sold over the past several years. The Federal Reserve is buying it because the creditors are saying, no, we're not going to, this is crazy to buy U.S. bonds. You've got to be nuts. So the Federal Reserve is maintaining the illusion that they have value, but the truth is they don't. And the reason they don't, in my opinion, is because it's become increasingly obvious that the middle class is being eviscerated. And if the middle class isn't here, where is the government going to get the money to pay off its debts? Right. I don't think there is any source without the middle class. And once the creditors realize that, say, wait a second, the United States doesn't have a strong middle class anymore, how are they going to pay their debts? I think as people realize that, I'm not buying any more U.S. bonds. That make any sense to you, Frank?
Well, yeah, I view it more like, because I recognize not one tax dollar goes to pay for anything. And I really view the tax system as...
It goes to pay for limousines and corporate jets, It's not like they just burn it.
On the state and corporate level, yeah, but the federal government, they don't use... Your tax dollars do go in the trash pit, and I think they just... have this to as a release valve, because if they're pumping all these billions into the economy, they've got to have a mechanism to take it out, or else you're going to have hyperinflation. And
well, that's why they have drugs for one thing. One of the reasons, one of the ways they get cash out of the economy is by means of illegal drugs.
Right.
Yes. All of the drugs they're not taking checks down there in Colombia. You understand?
Yep.
if you want some cocaine, don't put it on your MasterCard.
Yeah, Julio ain't swiping your card down on the corner either.
That's exactly right. You better have cash.
You know, but the thing is, what I see is going to happen, because what you're describing is going on, and it's inevitable that there's going to come a day when there ain't no more. So what happens is the government going to say, oh, well, there ain't no more, so we got to stop,
right.
You know, we're going to have to stop pumping in money. No, they're going to keep doing it. Hyperinflation then is going to come, and the dollar's not going to be worth nothing. And, you know, or less and less and less, because it's pretty much already not worth anything, you know. But, I mean, we are in a, I don't know how, I can't say this because they have been amazingly creative in the past.
I'd say persistent, not even creative so much. I'll give them credit for creative, but shameless and persistent in a way where an ordinary man would have just said, I'm caught. I surrender. I give up. I'm a crook.
Yeah.
All right? Not these guys.
No. No, never. No. Never. Because that would be akin to telling the truth, and that just can't happen. I mean,
no.
It's like
they're
burst in the flames if they tell the truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't expect any of that. Still, we're running out of middle class. Middle class revenues aren't there to support the government. They're not going to be able to borrow money much longer. The Federal Reserve's even refusing to borrow or to lend more money to the government for treasuries and so on. That's what tapering amounts to.
Mm-hmm.
What's the government going to do in order to keep bribing the poor and subsidizing the rich? Where are they going to have to get the money?
Well,
there's going to be a default. There's coming a default where they're going to have to admit, oops, all you people out there in Ferguson, guess what? We don't have any money for your welfare checks this month.
But we have tanks.
Yeah, we got tanks.
You know, we have tanks for you. That's the thing that happens. You know, I mean, you go, well, okay, and you bribe and you bribe and you bribe and you get to the point where there's no more to bribe. Now you got to get out the billy club.
Yeah, I know.
And say, now I'm not bribing you anymore. I'm just going to beat you in a submission if I can. Yeah. And that's what's coming.
I understand. It's the only thing they have left to do to maintain order. If they can't bribe people with benefits, entitlements, and subsidies, you know, the government doesn't really command much respect, and it doesn't command much loyalty.
No.
Most of us are involved in the government insofar as we're involved in the government. We're in it because we think we can make a buck, either as a government employee or we got some program that we can take advantage of and we can get a free lunch. But at the point in time when government is no longer able to bribe us, right, we're going to dump government like a hot potato. And the only way it's going to be able to maintain an illusion of power is start wrapping heads.
You know, and what this speaks to also, the whole thing speaks to the fact that we are coming up on a time when the only thing of real value, and that doesn't mean you won't be able to trade, you know, pieces of paper for stuff, but it's just going to take a lot more of it. And the only thing that's really going to be of value to people are tangible goods.
Exactly.
Gold, silver, shovels, guns, food, water, things like that. All of that, you know, and gold and silver certainly in there. And eventually, it has to go up, given the circumstances, just like a shovel. You know, you can go down to the store and buy a shovel for $7 today, but when the money isn't worth anything anymore and nobody's making any shovels anymore because nobody's going to go to work for nothing, that shovel's not going to be $7 anymore. It's going to go up. And that,
depending on where you're getting a $7 shovel. I haven't bought a shovel in a long time. Really?
Yeah, Harbor Freight.
That's a legitimate price?
Yeah.
Well, made in China?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Oh,
absolutely. All right, let's talk more about where we can get the best deals on shovels when we return to financial survival. I'm Alfred Addis here with Frank Stephan. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com. We'll be right back.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here on Financial Survival with co-host Frank Stefan. I want to remind you, Discount Gold and Silver is the principal sponsor of the program. And if you're looking for gold and silver, you can't get a better deal. Give them a call at 1-800-375-4188. Here's an example. This is the special du jour. This is today's special. One almost uncirculated $5 Liberty, that's a shade under a quarter of an ounce of gold. $25 face value of 90% silver. In other words, you'd get $25 worth of silver dimes, for example. And I'm not saying you might get half dollars, you might get quarters, but you get $25 face value worth of silver coins that are 90% silver, and you'll get one silver eagle. Recently minted, and shipping included for $815. $5 Liberty coin, almost uncirculated condition, are in limited supply and contain nearly a quarter of an ounce of pure gold. $25 face value, 90% silver. I just need to understand silver coins were the basis of our currency for hundreds of years, until 1965. When the price of silver started increasing in value, the government replaced our silver with coins made of worthless metal. The 1 ounce silver eagle, of course, is 99.9% pure silver. Again, shipping is included for one almost uncirculated $5 Liberty, $25 face value of 90% silver, and one silver eagle, $815. Give them a call at Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. I've got Frank and I were talking about shovels, and he is apparently right. I didn't think you could get a decent shovel for $7 anymore.
Well, the real shovel is like $9.50, but you can get one of those short shovels with the handle on the top for $7.99 at, you know, we're there.
These shovels are made in China.
Yeah, well, you know, that's the whole
guarantee. Do they deliver? Do they have a Chinese person deliver the shovel all the way from Peking across the Pacific and direct to your door?
Well, no, you got to pick it up at the store.
Or I was thinking this would just be a way of getting Chinese people to enter into this country. They could individually carry a shovel.
Oh, they're not going to have to carry a shovel. They're just going to get an HB1 visa, you know, because that's what they're doing now. That's what Obama wants to do.
Well, here's something on a different subject. You know, we've got, this is from WorldNet Daily. Headline is Jihadists Prepare for Takeover of Spain. I won't get too deeply into the article. I'm not going to go into it at all to speak of. But they are concerned that ISIS rebels, so some affiliates of the ISIS rebels in the Middle East are beginning to get active in Spain with the idea. And here's the Spanish Interior Minister, Jorge Fernandez Diaz. He says, clearly Spain forms part of the strategic objectives of global jihad. We are not the only ones, but we are in their sights. I look at this, say, if the Muslims continue to push the West, or if the Muslims allow themselves to be made to appear to continue to push, kill, and behead the West and Christians, the Western world will eventually agree that something's got to be done about the Muslim problem. If and when that consensus is reached, World War III may erupt in the Middle East, and the Muslim population may be dramatically diminished. What I'm wondering about, the Muslims are almost universally presented as difficult, obnoxious, violent, terroristic. And I understand that's not true of all Muslims, but there's a strong streak of that. There appears to be. And are the Muslims as bad as they're presented to be? Or are we looking at the results of just a handful of crazy people? And if we're only looking at a handful, what's the probability that we will nevertheless react against all Muslims? How long can we be antagonized by the threat of Muslims before we decide to go after all of them? Got an opinion, Frank?
Oh, yeah, always. But, you know, I figure the Muslims are just like Americans, or just like everybody else, you know? I mean, the rest of the world looks at Americans as these evil, greedy, money-grubbing liars, right? And that's a pretty good description of our government and our foreign policy and everybody involved there. But I don't think that's a good description of the majority of American people. But nevertheless, that is the picture the rest of the world has, because that's what they're shown. And I think it's probably the same with Muslims. You know, we're being shown this group, and I don't know if it's, you know, 49% or 10% of their population. But I do think it's a minority. I think the most of Muslims are like everybody else. They just want to live. They just want to do their life, raise their family, you know, have a life.
And win the lottery.
Well, and that, yeah.
Yeah, or at least get a government job,
you know.
Which in some respects, it's better than the lottery.
Yeah,
because it keeps you out of trouble. You actually have to go to work every day, or at least show up. You don't have to do work exactly, but you do have to show up, and that keeps you from doing crazy things. If you had too much money, win the lottery, you get a little goofy.
Well,
hold a government job, you know, keeps you sane.
They keep making you show up at least most of the time.
No. I got another one here from Business Insider. Governor Rick Perry, down here in Texas, Governor, of course, Rick Perry. There's a very real possibility ISIS forces have crossed the U.S.-Mexican border. Again, Governor Perry believes there's the jihadist group of the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, ISIS or ISIL. They've already sent militants across the U.S.-Mexican border. You think that's reasonable? Is he just a little hyperbole, looking for some attention, or do you think this is a realistic problem and a concern?
Well, obviously, Rick Perry's jumping on the bandwagon of the Republican, you know, warmongers. But the thing is, this is probably true, and it was probably true years ago.
Yeah.
You know, this didn't just happen. They didn't just sneak across now. This has been going. We've had an open border for how many decades now? I mean, you know, everybody who wanted to be here to do whatever they want to do is already here, and they've been here. So,
including the Kenyans.
Yeah.
You want to come into this kind of a Kenyan? Yeah, exactly. They've invaded in their own way, and
I believe it's true. And I don't.
But
know
it's
about
not
ISIS.
News.
I don't know about ISIS, but. You know, look, any terrorist who wanted in the United States is already in the United States, because we haven't done anything to stop them. So they're here if they want to be here, whoever they are. And Rick Perry is just jumping on the band. ISIS, this, you know, the catchphrase. You know, what happened to Al-Qaeda? Oh, they say now Al-Qaeda's even afraid of ISIS. Well, okay, fine. You know, it's just so much. I can only take so much, you know.
No, you haven't hit your limit yet, Frank. You think you've seen your limit, but you haven't.
Well, apparently we've all hit our limit.
I guarantee the government is confident that you can deal with more than you've already dealt with.
Just on a sidebar, when you said, you know, hit your limit, I mean, I see an article here that I actually read that they say, well, you know, IQ levels have been dropping now, you know, we're getting stupider, and some experts argue that, you know, it's not because of the food, the education, and none of that, the fluoride in the water. It's because we've peaked. We've hit our limit of intelligence, and now we're going down.
You know what I think it is? I think we've created a society. You know, one of the people look at the poor in this country, and a lot of folks will sit back. The reason they're poor is because of their race. But the fundamental, if I had to guess, the common denominator that runs across most people living in poverty is that most, not all, but most, have low levels of intelligence.
Sure.
And they can't get a job, particularly in a technological society. They don't have sufficient intelligence. I mean, back when I was a kid, people with low IQs, you'd get a job just picking up stuff around the yard or hauling things by hand, or, you know, there was a need for human labor. That's not here today to the same extent that it was 50, 70 years ago. And therefore, we don't have anything for these people to do. We don't have a place for them. So what do they do? What are we doing with them? Well, we are subsidizing them by giving them welfare. And what do they do? Well, they go out and make more babies who, odds are every bit as dumb as their parents. Right?
Yep.
And insofar as we're going to subsidize unintelligent people having babies, we are going to see our average IQ drop. We're going to have more unintelligent people. In a harsher environment where people didn't subsidize the poor to the same extent we do today, we would have less poor, less babies coming out of the poor community, and there'd be a higher mortality. And it's not something you want to recommend. It's not something you want to talk about, celebrate, or whatever. But the truth of the matter is, natural selection has been diminished dramatically by the society we've created. We're not being selected out just because we're dumb. Right? We survive. We propagate. You know, we gather around the drum behind the, you know, in the backyard and bring all the neighbors and beat on the drum. Well, that's great. You know, we can all sing Kumbaya, I guess. But we're not making a productive contribution to society. And those people who didn't produce in the past, one way or another, they were filtered out. That's not happening today.
Well,
not to the same extent. And my point is that natural selection, and I'm not an evolutionist, that's not what I'm talking about, but nevertheless, the concept of natural selection, there's validity there. That natural selection, you may be able to put it into abeyance for a while. But if you can maintain natural selection long enough to make any people or any species fat, dumb, and lazy, the day will come when environmental pressures are going to build up and they will crush that species or that people. Something's going to happen, and they're going to be too dumb, too fat, too lazy to know what to do with it, and they're going to perish.
Well, that's true, and people can say, well, you know, this is just something that's happened, gotten a little out of control because people want to be kind and charitable, but that isn't the case at all, because these people who are not intelligent enough to really do anything anymore, and you know, to a certain degree, they've been put into a system where they've not been given the opportunity to have any education. But the fact is, they have been not only allowed and subsidized, they have been protected and elevated.
Yeah.
And now you have a society being run. You're putting people that have no business being in charge of anything in charge of important things.
Yeah, know? Exactly right.
Oh, my gosh.
And no, I understand.
You know, I don't know if you've ever seen that movie, Idiocracy.
Yes, I have.
I mean, you know, I used to think that was a comedy. Now I'm looking at it more as a documentary.
I see it as a business plan. I'm thinking about next time I need to borrow some money, I'm thinking about just submitting Idiocracy as my business plan and see if the bank will go along and say, well, yeah, that looks, yeah, I think he's got something here.
yeah. It's amazing because, you know, when that came out, I was like, oh, yeah, wow. And now it's like, oh, boy, uh-oh.
Yeah, the Idiocracy, for those of you who haven't seen the movie, it's a dark comedy. I think that might be one way to describe it, or maybe it's just a satire. I don't know how you want. But regardless, it's of a future date where people, a future time, where people have been so dumbed down that they almost need help tying their shoes. And it's just one gag after another, one tragedy after another. It's interesting. It's funny. It makes you laugh. It makes you wince. But good film. Here's another one for us out of the news. Here's something from the Washington Times. The headline is Hagel, that's Defense Secretary Hagel's ominous terror warning beyond anything we've seen.
Mm-hmm.
The Obama administration insisted Thursday that the U.S. will avoid mission creep in freshly war-torn Iraq, even as its Pentagon chief warned that the Islamic State poses, and that's this ISIS, ISIL, they didn't change their name every week or three. They take a different name. The Islamic State poses a terrorist threat to Americans beyond anything that we've seen. Get ready, Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel declared in an ominous warning, even as the White House tried to tamp down speculation that stepped-up airstrikes might lead to a greater ground troop intervention. Well, this is interesting to me because here's one more. Well, I'll get to this one in a moment. We're just seeing an awful lot of hype where we are being encouraged to let's kill some Muslims. All right? This is coming at us from a bunch of directions, and I have to wonder, are we being fairly informed of a reasonable threat, or are we being subjected to propaganda and hyperbole that's going to encourage us to kill a bunch of people who might not deserve it, and perhaps in the near future? Where are we going with this? You know, whenever I see too many people in the government and positions of power all agreeing to the same thing, I am skeptical. Am I being informed or am I being conditioned? We've got about 25 seconds. You think you're being informed or conditioned?
Yeah, right? I think we're being manipulated and distracted because there's other things going on that Americans should be paying attention to and trying demanding that something be done about it, but yet, you know, we're back to the same old boogeyman in black somewhere in the world that we need to do something about.
I agree. We'll talk more about boogeymen when we return to the last segment of this program. I'm Alfred Addis, here on Financial Survival with our co-host Frank Stephan. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herb's Emotional Stress Formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Frank Stefan on Financial Survival. Program is brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. I want to remind you again, today's special, one almost uncirculated $5 Liberty. That's just a shade under a quarter of an ounce of pure gold, plus $25 face value of 90% silver coins. For example, you'd have $25 if the coins were sent to you in dimes, and I don't know that they will be. Might be dimes, might be quarters, might be half dollars, might be mixture, all three. But if it was all dimes, you would receive 10 dimes for each dollar. You got 25 face dollars, so you've got 250 silver dimes, 90% silver. One almost uncirculated $5 Liberty, shade under a quarter ounce of gold, and you'll get one silver eagle in addition to that. Shipping included, $815, another good deal from Discount Gold and Silver. Give them a call, 1-800-375-4188. Got another article here from the New York Times. U.S. General says raiding Syria is key to halting ISIS. ISIS being the Muslim rebels in that are threatening Iraq. Washington, the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria cannot be defeated unless the United States or its partners take on the Sunni militants in Syria. This is from the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. This is an organization that has an apocalyptic end-of-days strategic vision that will eventually have to be defeated, said Chairman General Martin E. Dempsey. Can they be defeated without addressing that part of the organization that resides in Syria? The answer is no. So, Frank, in order to protect the government that the United States has installed in Iraq, we're going to have to defeat the ISIS rebels who are not only invading Iraq, but are also attacking the Syrian government in Syria. Now, Frank, I want you to help me with this. Isn't it true, Frank, that we were against the president of Syria, that we were working with the rebels in Syria to overthrow the Syrian government? Am I missing? Is that true or false?
Yeah, that was true. But
then technically, we helped create the ISIS rebels. We helped fund them. We helped train them. We laid the foundation.
Oh, we gave them weapons, too. Don't forget that.
In order to get Assad. But they decided, to heck with that, we're also going to go after Iraq. So now, we're caught in this, our little Frankenstein creation has... We intended just to get Assad in Syria, but now our little Frankenstein creations have started raiding the neighboring state of Iraq. And so in order to protect the U.S.-installed government of Iraq, we have to destroy the ISIS rebels who we helped to create in Syria. Now, you see, Frank, do you understand what I'm telling you here?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It makes sense, doesn't it?
No, but I understand what you're telling
okay.
me.
So now, in order to protect Iraq, we may have to support Syrian President Assad, who we have recently been trying to depose and perhaps even kill. But now we may have to support him in order to get Assad to kill the ISIS rebels in Syria in order to prevent the ISIS rebels from attacking Iraq. A couple of comments come to mind. The enemy of my enemy is my friend, even if he was recently my enemy, and will be my enemy again just as soon as we first kill off all the ISIS rebels. And oh, what a tangled web we weave when first we practice to enter into Middle East politics. So it's just comical to me. It's comical, it's absurd, it's sad.
Well, you know,
we started this group.
Right.
We helped to lay it, helped to make it happen. We may not have been the primary source for the ISIS rebels, but we certainly helped get them going in Syria.
Mm-hmm.
And now we've decided we have to kill them because they've taken the training we've given them and the weapons we've given them, and they've marched on Iraq.
Well, and the question is, okay, how many times does this have to happen before somebody catches on that this always happens? It
yeah.
happened in South America. It happened in Afghanistan. Now
yeah.
it's happening in Iraq and Syria.
Yeah.
I mean, it happens every single time. There's never a time when it doesn't happen. So why do they keep doing it?
Well, do they want it to happen? That's the question.
Well, they must.
Is it just stupidity? Is it just short-sightedness? Or, in fact, do they want, we'll go in there and we will create a rebel force, a militia. All right, we'll get them up to go against the existing government, and inevitably they will be there, and we will go against the militia we created, or they will come against us within a decade.
We'll have something
after we help make them, then they come after us, or we go after them.
The way I look at it is they're doing it on purpose for something to do, continuous war, because the fact is this nation has had a war economy ever since
yeah.
World War II.
I understand.
I mean, without war, you think the economy's bad now. Really, get out of all these wars, bring all the troops back home like we all call for, and see what happens to the economy then.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are a war-based economy and have been for a long time. And, you know, the report from Iron Mountain, they recognize that this is a problem. Peace is a problem for them.
John Maynard Keynes, one of the books, his seminal book on Keynes and laid the foundation for Keynesian economics, was entitled The Economic Consequences of Peace.
Yeah.
And was written back about, 1910, 1915, if I understand correctly. Now, he didn't flat out say that peace was a bad thing. But when I start talking about the economic consequences of peace, you know, you can see this is, they're looking to say, we don't really want peace. We
yeah.
want war.
Consequences yeah. are not
but more money.
Good thing.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right.
You know.
Just the language, the choice of language there. This has been going on and going on and going on. And we the people, like dummies, we go along with this crap. And the result is we go deeper into poverty. The nation is increasingly impaired. Some of our young men and women wind up killed or maimed or psychologically impaired in ways that'll keep them unbalanced for the rest of their lives.
22 veterans commit suicide every single day.
Every day.
Yep, that's the numbers now. 22 veterans commit suicide every day.
Why do you think they do that?
I figure they've got psychological problems.
Yeah, that's easy, but, you know, I look at it and I think it's this. I think most of these guys, I think a lot of them that enter the Army, they do it for reasons they think are patriotic. They believe they're fighting for our country, all right? They're not. They're fighting for our government and whatever special interests our government represents. They're not fighting for our country. And I think when they get over there under these circumstances and they find themselves initially just frightened, terrified, people are shooting at them. What are you going to do? You're going to shoot back, of course. You take a couple of years of this and you have a chance to think about it, you begin to realize you're not the good guy. You join the military to be a young hero. You join the military to do the right thing, to protect our country, and you begin to realize we're not the good guys. We're doing things that are wrong. And some of these people, they have to be aware that they've killed innocent people.
Sure.
They've participated in things that they never intended, never wanted. They found themselves, and now they take enormous personal responsibility and liability for the crimes and the atrocities they have committed. And I'm not trying to paint the military with a bad brush. I'm just trying to call a spade a spade. You're not playing young hero over there. We're in something. We had no more business invading Iraq than the Nazis had in invading Poland. And eventually, you stick around long enough and you're going to see it, you're going to face it, and you're going to realize you have wasted your life and you've committed some really sins that aren't going to be easily explained or justified. And in the end, I think that's what predisposes a lot of these people to just put their gun in the mouth and pull the trigger.
Oh, I totally agree. You know, I mean, because these guys get in a real stressful, you know, situation, and they watch some of their friends be killed, and they get angry.
Yes.
And then they react, and they go into a neighborhood and kill everybody in there, women and children, everybody else. And at the time, it seems like a good idea. But then you get home, you get back in the world, you get back to, and you start realizing what you've done. And, you know, and I got to drag it back to a lot of these folks, I believe, also do not have the Lord. Because, you know, they have sinned. They have done terrible things, but so has everybody else. You know, and if you've got the Lord, you understand that, I need to change. I can't do this anymore, and I've got to realize and take responsibility. But I also have to know that I can be forgiven. And that's what the Lord gives you. And if you don't have that, you become, what do you have? You've got nothing but looking back at these horrible, terrible things you've done that you cannot, you can't live with. You can't live with it. So the option is you don't live anymore.
Yeah, eventually you just have to, you have to, it's going on inside your head, and people might not see it, but it's there, and finally you say, I can't get rid of this. And the only way I can get rid of the problem in my mind is I've got to terminate my mind. I was drafted during the Vietnam War. The government lost my records out of AIT. Everybody from my AIT company went to Vietnam except for me and half a dozen guys, four, five, heck, six, I don't remember, who were in the National Guard, and they didn't send anybody in the National Guard over there. Turns out they lost my records, and we didn't find out until months later. And when we finally found out, I was out of the train that was just going in lockstep, marching into Vietnam. And it was just an enormous blessing, because if I'd gone over there, I was dumb enough to get myself killed and dumb enough to do things I would regret the rest of my life. And it was a great blessing that I did not go. Right? But at the time, you don't think of it that way.
No.
You want to be a young hero. You want to get over there and kill some gooks or something. And you don't realize, good Lord, this is just insane. And it's for no reason. If we could find a reason, why are we shooting it? Well, because they're shooting at us. Why are they shooting at us? Well, because we're shooting them. Shooting at them. Or we're invading their country.
Yeah, we're in their neighborhood. Why are they shooting at us?
Yeah, I know. You know, it's one of those things that are just too bizarre. Here, I got one more for us, Frank, before we close down. This is from, I don't have a source. election jackpot. Oh, yeah, it was Miss Shedlock. Election jackpot scratch and sniff. Los Angeles proposes free lottery tickets if you vote.
Oh, man.
Oh, no kidding. Turnout in some Los Angeles elections is so low that L.A. considers giving citizens lottery tickets if they vote. With as few as 8% of the registered voters showing up to vote in some recent elections, the Los Angeles Ethics Commission has earned the city council to consider improving turnout with a lottery pilot program. All right?
Ethics Committee.
and it says here, no actual vote would be required, but those participating would have to show up at the polls to participate. In other words, you can lead a voter to the voting booth, but you can't make him vote. We will entice people to show up at the voting booths by giving them lottery tickets. All right? So we are now going to bribe voters to go to the polls. And this is, I think it's an idea whose time has come, Frank.
You know,
because
if you could
tell special
me
interests.
If you were going to give me a winning lottery ticket, I might.
No, we can't give you that. Well, you know. I'll tell you this, Frank. You have a higher probability of getting a winning lottery ticket than you do of getting a responsible congressman.
Well, that's true. That is true.
The odds on the lottery ticket are higher than getting a good congressman sent off to Washington or a good local public official.
Before we go, you want to hear some good news? Good news on the, for America. The U.S. International Trade Commission today voted to impose anti-dumping duties against steel pipe imports from 6 countries. Now, the details are all here and all that. However, it says this also down in the thing. The decision, because basically what they're doing is they're going to start putting tariffs on this. The decision gives the U.S. Department of Commerce the green light to impose tariffs as high as 118% on tubular goods and is expected to boost the domestic business. Now, if that's going to boost the domestic business, mm-hmm. Why wouldn't tariffs on all products boost the domestic business in all areas?
Exactly. And it's the truth of the matter. I mean, part of the big reason we're in trouble that we are is because we knocked down tariffs in order to participate in global free trade, and all it's done is help eviscerate our economy, and especially the middle class.
I think you should call their congressman and point to this ruling and this assumption that this is going to boost and say, well, why don't you do this with everything?
Well, the congressman will tell me we don't want to be leaping to conclusions, Frank. Just because this makes sense sometime doesn't mean it makes sense all the time.
Right.
We're out of time. I'm Alfred Adask here with Frank Stefan on Financial Survival. Frank and I will be back next Monday. Have a good weekend, ladies and gentlemen. Frank, thank you. And now then, the good Lord bless you, me, and Frank the producer, folks.
Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills.